MTV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, January 6th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We have a real bad ice storm here in Pennsylvania today. We had a tree fall right down on the edge of our yard, blocked the whole road, power out everywhere. So hopefully we're going to get this in, be able to get it out to you.
Yeah.
We're on day two of our three-part series of interviews with Dave McGowan. He's the founder of a website called Center for an Informed America, and also the author of this book, Programmed to Kill, which we're going to talk about at length tomorrow.
Among other books.
Among other books, right. But today, something we're very much looking forward to, peak oil. So, Dave, welcome to Wing TV.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Real good, thanks. Well, we have a lot to cover today, so we're going to jump right into it. The first thing about peak oil is there's a big argument whether oil is a fossil fuel or an abiotic fuel, which means it was formed from the magma of the earth and comes up from the earth like that. Now, one of the arguments against fossil fuels is that there haven't been enough formerly living matter in the existence of this earth to account for all the billions of gallons of oil that we pump every day and week and month and year and decade. So, in your opinion, have there been enough plants and insects and animals to account for this or to be squeezed all together into this massive ooze that we call oil?
Oh, not even close. And it's not just a matter of the oil that we pump. In my research, I've discovered a number of things that I didn't know before, such as that oil and gas vent naturally into the environment on a continuing basis and have been doing so for probably hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of years.
Uh-huh.
There are natural gas and oil seeps both on land and under the oceans where oil and gas just naturally seep out, you know, into the environment, and also coal, which is also supposed to be a fossil fuel. There are coal fires that are burning around the globe, burning up just countless, you know, billions of tons of coal, and again, these are natural processes that have been going on for, you know, God only knows how many years. So I mean, for hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of years before before man started exploiting the planet's oil and gas and coal reserves, you know, I mean, countless billions and billions of, you know, maybe trillions of tons of this stuff have burned off or seeped out naturally. So it's pretty ridiculous to postulate that all of these fuels were formed by organic matter at some remote, you know, point in the Earth's past. It just doesn't add up.
So Dave, how does the fossil fuel theory account for deep oil reserves with refillable oil fields, migratory oil systems, deep sources of generation, and spontaneous venting of gas and oil? How does fossil fuel account for that?
It doesn't, actually. And that's one of the interesting things about the whole fossil fuel theory is that scientific theories are supposed to be developed over time where, you know, somebody puts out a theory and then, you know, it's tested in the real world, and if you know, the data that you gather in testing this does not conform to your theory, normally the you know, the standard thing to do is to revise the theory to account for these facts which simply do not fit in with the theory, and that's never happened. I mean, despite the fact that like you say, there are numerous contradictions that you know, just simply cannot be explained through a fossil fuel theory. This theory has stood firm for like 250 years now, at least in the Western world.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're calling
clarify
it.
That because it's not true in the behind what we used to call the Iron Curtain.
Right.
We have a much different view of the origins of oil.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're calling it a fossil fuel theory. That's very important. Now, last month we had a guest on our show named Lindsay Williams. He's the author of a book called The Energy Non-Crisis. And he said there have been massive domestic oil finds in this country, especially up in Alaska. But he said, and he has evidence, that these oil producers were told by our federal government not to tap this oil. So what's going on with this? And can we become non-reliant upon foreign oil if we tapped into this?
Oh, I think there's absolutely no question that we can. I've gotten emails from a number of people, and of course, I mean, I can't verify the information, but there's a number of people that have written to me to tell me that oil wells all across this country were capped off prematurely, that they were still producing and they were deliberately capped off to limit the supply of oil. Mm-hmm. So I mean, even if we discount the fact that there is compelling evidence and irrefutable evidence that many of these oil fields, even if they were depleted, have the ability to replenish themselves, there's, according to a number of people, there's oil wells all over this country mm-hmm. that weren't even developed. Depleted before they were capped.
Right.
Yeah, a geochemist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute in Massachusetts, a Dr. Jean Whelan, I'll just read this little bit here, says, she's inferred that many of the world's oil fields are actually refilling themselves at nearly the same rate they're being drained. So why aren't the people of America being told about this?
Well, there's a lot of things that people of America aren't being told about. There's also been... I actually contacted her several months ago to try to get some additional information, and she didn't seem to really want to talk about it. She kind of said that she's no longer involved in that project and doesn't really want to have much to do with it. I don't know. Somebody maybe got to her and... be running around saying that kind of stuff or what, but she didn't want to get involved. But there's a number of things that the American people aren't told. Besides that, there's been a series of recent just enormous oil discoveries. Saudi Arabia announced earlier this year that they had quadrupled their reserve estimates up to 1.2 trillion barrels.
Wow.
And Mexico announced several months ago that they had discovered, I think it was 50 billion barrels of new oil right in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, literally right in our own backyard.
Yeah.
And China, just in the last week, I came across it was an AP or UPI press report that was circulating that China has recently announced that they have, tens of billions of additional barrels or tons of reserves over their previous estimates. So there's been a number of just enormous oil finds that have been just barely reported in the last year. I mean, you read about it like one time, if you're lucky to happen to be reading from the right media,
right,
you'll stumble across this stuff. But otherwise, you'd never know it. And if you read the peak oil people's literature, they claim that there have been no major oil discoveries in years, and that there's not going to be any.
Right.
There's no more out there to find. And the truth is that they're finding it as we speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been researching this subject for quite some time now, and I came across a quote last night from all of my literature, and it says that the peak oil crowd is preaching from the Rockefeller Bible. In other words, they have the elite have had this long-standing wealth that's been dependent on a financial arrangement that revolves around oil, and that if they keep the supply limited, they can put the price higher and keep this monopoly control. So does this sound like an accurate description?
It does to me, yeah. I think that particular quote came from Colonel Fletcher Prouty of JFK assassination fame. Yeah,
yeah.
He said flat out that the entire notion of oil being a fossil fuel came, quote, straight from the Rockefeller Bible.
Uh-huh.
That oil is certainly not a fossil fuel. And the one of the interesting things about that is that Prouty is referenced repeatedly by the peak oil gurus as someone who you should listen to. You know, I mean, he's like on the From the Wilderness site. He's at the top of the recommended book list, and on the link list, and he's been referred to as someone who knows what's going on in the world. And yet, if this guy was alive today, he'd be the first one standing up to denounce this nonsense that people are selling and using his name to sell it.
Exactly.
You say there's a close parallel between the diamond industry and the petroleum industry, and that the diamond industry is artificial. What's the parallel?
According to these Soviet researchers who did the initial groundbreaking research on the origins of oil. The diamonds and oil are both kind of byproducts of the same processes that take place deep within the magma layer, I believe it's called, of the earth. And they're both sort of natural. They're both sort of created by these natural processes, and neither one is a limited or finite resource by any stretch of the imagination. They're actually they're very common materials that are generated spontaneously. And we know, or at least, people that have, done the research on it know that the diamond industry is a complete fraud. It's based on this notion of scarcity, and, these are, very, very precious stones precisely because of their scarcity, and that's entirely untrue. The Sears cartel has controlled the supply of diamonds and created an artificial shortage for like a century now. So it's not really a huge leap to, postulate that the same is true of the oil industry.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, we've talked about this subject a few times before on Wang TV, but whenever you speak of peak oil, it always seems like a depopulation agenda starts going hand in hand with it. And what the peak oil crowd is saying is there's really no alternative to oil, so, well, we got to just start wiping people out. And here's a quote from Mr. Mike Rupert himself, and you relayed this in one of your articles. It says that we have to arrive at the best possible and most ethical program of population reduction. Why is peak oil going hand in hand with depopulation?
Well, yeah, that's another indication, as you said, that this is a program straight from the Rockefeller Bible.
Yeah,
that's been part and parcel of the Rockefeller and the affiliated family's agenda for, God knows how long, is a, substantial population reduction. And yeah, it is being sold in that way. I mean, it's more than just manufacturing a shortage for the sake of reaping, obscene profits. I think there's much more to it than that. I mean,
we're killing people.
This
could be used to justify a massive population reduction, around the world and possibly even in this country. And it's also being used, obviously, to sell the necessity of endless war.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is not that, basically they're acknowledging, yes, the wars are about oil, but it's not just that we want the oil, we need the oil. I mean, the basic message that's being sent out is if we don't get the oil, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Which is going to motivate a lot of people to say, well, war is bad, but, the alternative is even worse.
And that comes to being population reduction also, right? War.
Exactly, yeah.
There's been a great body of research from Russia and the Ukraine. The modern Russian-Ukrainian theory of deep abiotic petroleum origins that has been suppressed here in the West. And you talk about that at length on your site. Explain why you think there's been so little interest here in the West regarding the origins of petroleum.
I don't know that it's a lack of interest so much as a desire to keep that information away from keep that information suppressed.
Yeah.
To perpetuate the notion of fossil fuel and reliance on the oil companies to provide us with what we need to survive. But it's definitely been suppressed. I mean, this dates back to like the 1940s or 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
According to people that have looked into this, and most of the literature has never been translated into English. So if you don't speak Russian or Ukrainian, you got to kind of rely upon the people that do to fill you in on what's been done. But for what they say is basically that there's like a 50-60 year body of very convincing scientific evidence that has been compiled over there, since right after the Second World War, when Russia basically found themselves isolated politically and economically and realized that they were going to have to take care of their own energy needs. And the prevailing wisdom at that time was that there was no oil to be found in Soviet territory. So they put their scientific community to work on this in a huge project. It's been compared to the
Manhattan Project.
As far as scope and the amount of money and minds that went into formulating this theory, and what they discovered was that the fossil fuel theory was a complete hoax, and that they did have oil reserves. They just had to drill a little deeper to find them, and the proof of their research is that Russia has now become, like, I believe, the second largest oil producing nation in the world, behind I think Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
In a country that supposedly, you know, prevailing wisdom back 60 years ago was that they had no chance of finding any oil.
Yeah. Now, a lot of us wouldn't even know about peak oil if it wasn't for Mike Ruper, who we touched upon a minute ago, and he's actually said that peak oil is the only issue. Everything else is secondary to it. And when you start looking over what he's done with his shoddy journalism, with Mike Vreeland, with Gary Webb, with his 9/11 limited hangout, if we can't really trust his work in that area, why should we trust Mike Ruper about peak oil?
Well, I certainly don't. And, he actually, I actually should probably give him a little thanks, because he kind of inspired me to look deeper into this issue.
Oh, same here.
You know, this started out, I mean, it was just kind of, I wrote like one paragraph in sort of an offhanded way when they really started pushing this peak oil, and just basically saying, this sounds like BS to me. It's too convenient.
Yeah.
You know, it's too convenient that this is coming out now as a kind of backhanded justification for war. But I didn't really have anything in the way of evidence to back that up. It was just a gut feeling that something was seriously wrong here. And it was precisely because of the reaction that I got from Rupert and his minions.
And he went crazy, didn't he?
They just went nuts. They just started, smearing me all over the internet.
Right.
And, sending me these hostile emails. And
yeah.
Then they just pulled out all the stops over this one. What started out as one little paragraph. And that's what made me realize that I'd stepped into something much bigger than I had originally realized.
Well, glad you did.
It was the reaction more than any. I shouldn't even say this, because next time I stumble upon something, they won't react. But more than anything, it was the reaction that I got from Rupert crowd that signaled to me that I was on the right track.
Yeah. You actually challenged the peak oil scare, saying it appeared to be a massive, well-organized effort to hijack the 9/11 skeptics movement and shift focus away from 9/11 to promote a dangerous lie.
That's a good question.
Yeah, Rupert has stated that explicitly, like Victor just said, that, he has stated repeatedly that the only story, the real story, the only story is peak oil and gas and how we're going to deal with it, and, basically telling people that it's, time to move on from 9/11, because this is a much more, crucial issue that's going to impact all of our lives. It's been very, very explicitly, a very explicit effort to hijack the 9/11 movement onto this,
And I think you were even bumped from a conference, weren't you, about this mm-hmm. very issue?
I was, yes. I had been, I've actually been bumped from two of their conferences, but now, I don't know why the first time, but I was scheduled as a speaker in the San Francisco, what was supposed to be the San Francisco 9/11 Truth Conference, and what was basically came off as a more of a peak oil conference.
Right.
I mean, at least half half the speakers they had lined up were there to talk about peak oil, not to talk about 9/11. And I had originally been scheduled to speak on 9/11, and this big peak oil war between myself and Rupert came up just as the conference was being set up, and suddenly my name was asked. Axed from the speakers list, and they acknowledged that I was axed from the speakers list. I got some of their emails that were traded around among various members discussing why I shouldn't be there, and that I was a disruptive force, and they took me off the speaker panel as soon as I started making noise about peak oil.
Yeah, well, there's something I call the global oil cabal. And when you start looking into it, you see that these people in power now are all direct descendants of Union Banking and Fritz Thyssen and IG Farben and Holland America Investment and Royal Dutch Shell and the Schlumbergers. It all seems to just keep coming from the same source, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the guys that kind of that first dove into that area was a guy named Walt Shaysby or something like that. He's the one that first traced the connections and revealed that this ASPO organization, the Association for the Study of Peak Oil, uh-huh. that Rupert and all of his various people are affiliated with, was backed by the Thiessen Group and Halliburton. And, you know, all
these names that
normally, you know, a dissident writer, a dissident website would not really want to be associated
with. Yeah, Fritz Thiessen was the guy who financed Hitler.
Yeah, exactly. Along with the, tied in with the Bush family
right.
as well. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff, yeah, it all ties back to the Nazis and the Rockefellers and you know, all these... You know, if you trace all the various threads, you find out that it comes right from the same people that have always been selling us these kind of lies. You know, the Club of Rome and
right.
You know, the
How do you see the whole peak oil thing playing out? I know you've written about it on your website. Can you share that with the viewers as well?
Well, I hope that it doesn't happen, but my fear is that they're going that this is more, like I said before, that this is more about. This is more than just the past oil shortages that have been manufactured to jack the price up, that they may be planning on actually, you know, perpetrating this massive hoax on the people. We're claiming that,
we
basically run out of oil, and which would then just, you know, I mean, basically plunge the world into chaos, regional energy wars and massive famine and, you know, just a huge die-off. They call it a die-off. There's actually a website affiliated with the Peak Oil people called dieoff.org where
they
talk explicitly about how there's going to be a massive die-off. You know, I mean, we're not going to be able to get food. We're not going to be able to get heat. We're not going to be, you know, transportation, all these various
But then what do we see? This emergence of the abiotic oil as special oil at a higher price?
What's that?
Do you think they'll bring forward the abiotic oil then as a special oil at a jacked up price?
I don't know. Maybe that. Maybe I can't quite get a firm handle on what exactly they're. You know, I mean, I wish I had a copy of the script so I could know exactly what they're up to. But yeah, I one time I thought that was maybe a plan that they're going to say, well, look, we've run out of that fossil fuel oil, but look, over here we've got this new kind of oil, and we can get it for you, but it's going to cost a little more.
Well, anyone who wants to read more about this, go to Center for an Informed America. Dave's website will be in the photo gallery at the end, and tomorrow we're going to have him back for the third installment. We're going to talk about this excellent, excellent book called Program to Kill, The Politics of Serial Murder. And when you hear the argument from the peak oil crowd and they say, well, there haven't been any new finds in the last 5 years or so, just remember, they already know where the untapped ones are.
Right, and ask yourself why they're so defensive when they're questioned about peak oil.
Yeah, so Dave, thank you so much for being on Wing
TV.
Thanks, Dave. And we very much look forward to talking about your book tomorrow. So we'll be back on Wing TV. Keep your eyes open, folks.
And inform yourself.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, that was great.